On October 7th of 1974, Washington, D.C. and the United States was shocked by an incident involving Wilbur Mills, the powerful head of the House Ways and Means Committee. He was involved in an incident with a Washington stripteaser, and it eventually led to his resignation as chairman of that committee and subsequent problems on the national political scene. One of the central figures in the incident is Fannie Fox, who has been deemed the Tidal Basin bombshell. She has written a new book about that particular aspect of her life and her life in general. It's called The Stripper and the Congressman. It is published by Pinnacle Press. And Fannie, it's nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Bruce.
I would like to begin by finding out what your circumstances were at the time you met Wilbur Mills.
I was dancing in a nightclub as a stripper. That's correct. I was in the process of putting a new act, tried to show the public that striptease was not all that bad. And I was quite successful for a month, and I was to take that act all over the country with a pretty high salary. And at that time, I met Mr. Mills.
How long had you been stripping prior to meeting Wilbur Mills?
On and off, about 10 years.
When you say on and off, what were you doing in the meantime?
In the meantime, I tried to retire from striptease two times, and I was not successful in other business I tried, like having a hamburger place in Los Angeles. I didn't think I could. I worked very hard from about 5 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night with my husband and sometimes with my children, but it just didn't work. At the time, I moved to Puerto Rico, and I even intend to move to Argentina. But my children really belong to this country. They've been here for so long. They were not happy in Argentina, and I was forced to come back.
Now, you have three children.
I have three teenagers, yes.
Now, what was your husband doing at this particular time?
Just like me, on and off, working as a entertainer, pianist, a commercial artist is his profession, and also a pianist. He was working with me in the sandwich shop we have. He was working in television in Channel 11 in Puerto Rico as a art director. And he was really doing sometimes good and sometimes not too good.
But overall, your marriage was not a real happy, pleasant one built on strong
traditional
values.
No, it was not. We both were very young and not too much experience when we got married, and we thought life was just a ball every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was finished when we had the children.
Let's get back specifically to when you met Wilbur Mills. How did it happen?
I was working in this club, and I was really happy for a while, and I was there for about 1.5 months maybe. And this girl, who was also a stripper, but she was not working all the time. She has a problem with her knee, and she was off work at the time. Came to the club with Mr. Mills. It was her birthday. Mr. Mills was alone at the time. He was separated from his wife, probably temporarily, I don't know. At the time, he was separated from her. And he had seen my picture in a newspaper, and he asked the girl to me come to the table and meet him.
Innocent.
Innocent, it
was. And from that initial meeting, the three of you went back to his apartment and...
Yes, we went back to
his
apartment.
Your girlfriend disrobed. It does not say in the book whether you disrobed at your first meeting with Wilbur Mills.
I changed my clothes. I had an evening gown with high heels and a wig, and I took my wig off, and I changed my evening gown into a robe, and Mr. Mills let me have it, and that was as far as we went. And
How did you feel towards him?
Toward him? I thought it was at the beginning, before I went to the apartment, I thought he said, well, I didn't know who Mr. Mills was. Otherwise, probably I would never try to get close to him. I don't believe in very short relationships. And if I have an interest in a person, I hope then it will be a long-lasting relationship. So I didn't know who he was. And I felt that he was absolutely adorable, very charming man, and tremendous sense of humor, and it seems like he was very bright.
But yet at that first meeting, he did make a a sexual advance towards you, but then at the time of carrying it out, he fell asleep.
Not quite all the way. He didn't intend to have any relationship of that sort with me. The whole intention at that point, it was to be close to a body of the opposite sex. And I think it made him feel like he had company. He was completely alone when I met him. I really don't know at that time what his feelings were.
Now, the next day, you were a little indignant because when you opened your purse, you found out that he had put money in there for the night before,
yes,
and you didn't
like that. Yes, I
thought
that he has put the money there, and I really felt, and, you know, we were talking in terms of friendship, and so I communicated with him, and I didn't approve of him putting money in my purse, so I wanted to return the money. He didn't accept it at the beginning, but I let him know that I really didn't appreciate that attitude. And he accepted it, and then he told me that he has not put the money there, but the other girl.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question, because at this particular time, you were a stripper, and you had also been worked in a B-girl type of operation. And yet you became indignant because you thought someone was buying your particular service.
Yes.
Had you never, ever accepted money for your...
Only for a
for
person
prior
about...
To that?
No, I had never sold my body in my entire life. I had a relationship with about four men that became very important in my life. At that point, I was going to seriously with this man, and I thought maybe eventually I would marry them. Two of these men were very generous with me, and at the time I didn't dance, them I'll accept their favors. But I didn't consider that selling myself because I thought at the time I was in love with these people.
At this particular time, you were separated from your husband.
Yes. We were
separated
most of the time.
When Wilbur Mills came into your life, he came on pretty strong because he really fell for you head over heels. Did he often speak of his wife and the unpleasant marriage he had with her?
Yes, he did. Very, very many times he did. And this situation with Mr. Mills and Mrs. Mills started many years ago. I will say... Almost 20 years ago, they started having really serious
problems. So he had been living an unhappy marriage for about 20 years.
Very unhappy. They didn't share the same bed, the same bedroom, not even the same bedroom. They had two separate rooms. And
now, once you got to know each other, he set you up with an apartment, three stories above his or below his.
Oh,
somewhere.
No, he didn't set me there. I lived in that apartment for 4 years until the time I moved to Connecticut. And he moved. I met Mr. Mills only 2 years ago.
Well, when did he, the furniture situation, where he let you?
It was for his own apartment when he decided to move close to me and took an apartment for rent in the same building.
So he moved to you?
He moved into the building where I had my apartment for 4 years.
Now, your ex-husband, or your separated husband at this time, mm-hmm. was also living in the same building with your children?
Yes, it's a very big building with two wings, one north and one south. My husband occupied an apartment in efficiency in the south wing when I was in the north wing.
During the time that you were seeing Wilbur Mills, were you having sexual relations with your estranged husband?
No, I was not. He was coming to stay with the children from time to time.
Well, and I get the impression from the book that you had a good relationship with your estranged husband.
That was, at the time, I was having a relationship with these other people I mentioned in the book. And from time to time, when I was not sure that I really was in love with these people, I would cut the relationship short. And only one of them remained a very close friend of mine. Just a friend after we realized that we were meant for each other. And during this period of time, as a normal woman, I felt that I needed sex like any other human being who is not attached especially to somebody. So I couldn't find anybody better to associate with than my husband from time to time.
All right. Now, what about the children? How did they react to Wilbur Mills? Because as you say, they were teenagers or reaching
yes,
the
teen
period.
Yes, one is almost 19 years old and the boy is 17.
So they knew what was going on.
Well, they knew. Mr. Mills came to the house and talked to them and said, I love your mommy and I'm going to marry her as soon as I can. So I want you to treat me as a father-to-be. And they did. They loved Mr. Mills deeply. He spoiled them in a way. And sometimes he went against me to defend the children. And the children, you know how they are. They really love that. My ex-husband was quite strict with the kids. He never let them date or go out.
How did your ex-husband get along with Wilbur Mills? Did he make jokes about it because the man was considerably older than he was
and
you were?
No, never. Mr. Mills was very fond of Eduardo, and so was Eduardo. The only thing, they had conversation, and my ex-husband told Mr. Mills, then despite all the problems we've been having in our marriage, he felt that he was still in love with me. And if it was for me going into with another person that wasn't Mr. Mills, after he met him, he would never approve of it. But he says, if you love her, I'm willing to go away. And because as it is, I understand she loves you too.
Fanny, we have to pause here for a moment, and then we will continue.
Okay.
Fanny Fox is our guest today on Montage, the author of a book called The Stripper and the Congressman. It is published by Pinnacle. It is in paperback, and the price is $1.75, and we're talking about her relationship with Wilbur Mills, once the powerful head of the Ways and Means Committee in Washington, D.C. And she has been, I think, probably one of the five most publicized women in all the world in the last year since the incident took place on the 7th of October of 1974. In the book, prior to meeting Wilbur Mills, you describe group sex activities that your husband and you had been involved with. Were you ever involved in a group sexual activity with Wilbur Mills?
No, never. I am sure that is most of my activities in my life, Mr. Mills is aware of. When I met him, I told him what my life was like, and he asked me if I was a prostitute, and I told him I was not. But I went on telling him that I have about four serious affairs in my life, and he knew about it and who they were. And I am sure that part of my life in the book is not going to shock him because he knows about it. But about sexual group sex, he will be entirely upset about it.
You mentioned in the book that his wife and your husband, at times when you all got together for dinner and you got together socially, that I get the impression that conceivably there might have been something going on between those two.
No, nothing at all. I guess Mrs. Mills sympathized with my husband because they both were in the same situation. And those encounters were not very often, maybe from time to time. I think we played bridge only two times with my ex-husband.
But it was a rather, to a traditionalist, it was a rather bizarre situation because he was unhappily married, you were separated, and you were living with Mr. Mills, and at times the three of you were living together under the same roof and sometimes in the same bedroom, and it was a strange...
Oh, no, but it was not at all like that. I kept my apartment completely, and I live in my house. I never spent a night there unless it was necessary, and this time was when Mr. Mills was a bit drunk, and we feared for his...
But there were times
he would
sneak out up to your apartment.
Oh, he would come to my apartment quite often to say hello and to stay with me, but he never slept in my bed, no. At the time when he had the apartment all by himself, we carry on our romance in that apartment. And when the children were not home, we carry on in my apartment.
And Mrs. Mills knew about it. She would not give him a divorce, and he desperately wanted a divorce, and they argued frequently. And when the three of you were together, there were many times that he was overtly affectionate towards you, which drove her right up the wall.
He tried to get Mrs. Mills to be tired of the situation and finally filed for divorce. And she, I don't know what reason she had. She knew that Mr. Mills was in love with me. They'd been sort of separated for many years, and she was still not going to give the divorce. I guess she was afraid, and if it all came to public, it was going to damage him very much.
There's one incident that you describe in the book that offends me, and I would like your response to it. And that is the incident where you are giving him a bubble bath, and his wife is in the room, or comes into the room.
Mr.
Why were you doing that
Mr.
in
Mills
his home?
Mr. Mills was drunk at the time, And many times, a couple of times he fell in the bathtub, and one time he broke two ribs. And another time he came, I helped him, Mrs. Mills, to put him to bed, and about 2 hours later he woke up and got up all by himself, and he has been drinking too much, and he fell and cut his head in the back pretty badly. So every time he was drunk, and he felt and he needed a bath and go to bed, and he decided to take a bath that day, and he went to the bathroom, and he was having trouble. And I told Polly, I don't think we should leave him alone, because you know how stubborn he is. When he decides to do something, he just go ahead and do it. So the least we can do is help him. Mrs. Mills said, I don't care. He doesn't need any help. If he falls in the bathtub, why, it's his fault. You know, he's big enough and he knows what he's doing. So, but he kept calling me, and I was afraid. We have several problems of that nature. I was afraid one of this day he's going to kill himself. And so I helped him up.
Had he been drinking heavily from the day you first met him, or did it gradually build up?
No, he was drinking heavily, but one day yes, one day no. He went to work a couple of days, and then towards the weekend he will drink more. And I never saw Mr. Mills taking a drink, a single drink, when he went to Congress. Never. He will drink after he came back from the office. And especially on weekends, he will be quite high in alcohol. Only when he decided he was not up to going to work or his presence was not needed in Congress, he will drink almost all day. But at the time I met him, his drinking was heavy, but it was not a problem. It only became a problem after Mrs. Mills came back. I don't know what the reason is. I mean, he was very unhappy. I don't know.
If Wilbur Mills had been a banker or a bricklayer or something like that, would you have been as fond of him and stayed with him as long as you did?
Yes, I'm quite sure. If it was the same kind of person he is, profession tends to change people, and sometimes that personality comes across. I doubt it if a person who is in a different business, like collecting garbage or being a waiter, will have the same education of the same intelligence that Mr. Mills has, and that's what attracted me the most.
How important was sex in your relationship?
For Mr. Mills, was very important at times. At times, we only tried to be together, hold hands and talk and be very close. For me, I would say it was about the same. Maybe that's why our difference in age it was never a problem.
Did he satisfy you sexually?
Well, that's quite personal. Yes, he did. I needed that to be fulfilled, that part of my life. It's just a need. And I am only almost 40 years old, but I think it's a very strong need for sex in my life. And he satisfied that part of my life quite well.
Your husband was a roamer. He roamed around a lot.
Yes, he did.
Because of Wilbur's age and because of the difference in age between the two of you, and the fact that you are a very physically attractive and beautiful young lady and he is a less attractive older man.
Yes.
You had the security that you were the only woman
exactly.
in his life.
Exactly. Did you capture that from the book?
Yes, I did.
But that I'm glad, because that's the way I feel. I find it extremely difficult to cope with the young man. I am extremely jealous at times, not of the physical activities, but the thoughts. I imagine that those thoughts go in every man's mind constantly. And I was tremendously afraid of thinking that he wouldn't like me, that he would find another woman more attractive, younger than me as I grew older. And it was very difficult for me to cope with that situation. And when I met Mr. Mills, I found myself in a complete different position. It was amazing how much I changed.
So your need at that particular time for sex was built on the emotional aspect of sex, as opposed to the physical aspect of it.
It was,
The straight physical aspect of it.
Both.
In other words, if an 18-year-old grocery boy came to the door, that would not mean that you would try to seduce him.
Oh, no, not at all. No, it has sex for me is quite important, but it had to go along with some sort of feeling, love or need or attention.
Fanny Fox is our guest today, the Tidal Basin bombshell, who in 1974 of October she was involved with the incident involving Representative Wilbur Mills. She has written a book about that incident and also about her life called The Stripper and the Congressman, and we will continue our discussion with Fanny after these messages.
That's very interesting.
Continuing now with Fanny Fox. Fanny, I want to get back to the money aspect of it, because in the book you talk about Wilbur Mills buying you a Lincoln Continental and buying your daughter a Comet when she graduated from high school. Was he throwing a lot of money your way, and did you ever come to him and say, hey, listen, I need some money for a coat or something like that, or did he just automatically make it available to you?
Well, the car, the Continental, he is had it in the parking lot for a long, long time, and he was not using it after his wife had left for 8 months after I met her. She was gone about 2 months before I met her, so it makes a total of about 10 months. The car was sitting there, and nobody was using it, so I started using the car, but the car was not mine. When Mrs. Mills came back, she wanted another car. Actually, she didn't want it, but she felt that she needed, and the car, I was using it most of the time to drive Mr. Mills different places. So he decided that he wanted to buy a car for her, and that's how the other car came to me, and I kept it. But only in the last 2 or 3 months it became my car, because he put it on my name.
Where were you getting your money to live during this period?
Right.
Because your children, I think, went to school in England.
Yes, that was before I met Mr. Mills.
Well, where did you get the money for that?
For the school?
Yeah.
I've been working for about 13 to 14 years all over. Actually, the time then that was most profitable for me was when I came to the United States, and I would say after the first year, I managed to save some money. My father passed away, and he left me some money and properties. My father-in-law, who was a very famous writer in Argentina, over a period of 45 years, he was a composer, a songwriter, playwriter, and movie scripts. He wrote a lot, and he also became personal manager of several entertainers in Buenos Aires. He died a few years ago and left everything to my husband, something that came eventually to me and my children. And
so you were not money. You were not penniless?
Oh, no, no. Only for the time I left my country, and because it was my decision to live on my own, and I never accepted any help from my parents or from his parents.
One of the other interesting things in the book is that you were very open about this. You would go out to restaurants, the three of you, and you would go to nightclubs and a variety of different places. So Wilbur Mills was not trying to hide his relationship with you from his friends and colleagues in Washington.
No, he was not. But it was not obvious then we were related. Whenever we went out, I would address him as Mr. Mills. Always did, in public. And very rare, only sometimes when we had serious conversations and at home, if his wife was present or somebody else, or just maybe the three of us, I will address him as Mr. Mills, always. So it came natural to me. And if he says Anna, I will turn around and say, yes, sir. So it was not that obvious that we were close as lovers. We were behaving naturally. He was drinking sometimes. Sometimes he was not. But
would he get obnoxious when he drank?
About it. Pardon me?
Would he get obnoxious when he drank?
No, never. Never did, except a couple of times when he, like the Tidal Basin, you know, I was surprised he used a few words that time, and I would say one of the very few times. Told me he never, and told some other, sometimes he had arguments and became a little bit upset with his wife and used some different words.
Now, the relationship between the three of you was cordial. In other words, Polly knew what you were up to and you knew where she was at, and
yes,
you just lived with one another and got along.
Exactly. And we all were hoping that something will develop.
Either what about Wilbur's friends?
Friends?
They interrogated you pretty heavily when they first met you, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, especially one who was very close, and as it is now, maybe he is saying to himself, see, I told you, they didn't keep your place. But
they thought that you might be setting him up.
No, they thought that I will, you know, he sounded so much in love, he looked so much in love, then I probably will create some problem for him, because he never showed this part of his personality to anyone. But the rest of the people, and I still have people who are very close to him and love him, and they really love me too.
Did anyone ever come to you, let's say your husband or your estranged husband at this time, did he ever come to you and say, hey, listen, Fanny, you know, this guy here, you got him where it hurts, and you could really make a lot of money maybe by blackmailing him. Was that ever presented to you, either by your estranged husband or by anyone?
No, never at any point. It was no need. Mr. Mills was very close to me. He provided with everything I need. And he asked me not to work anymore. And I said, well, Mr. Mills, if you ask me not to work anymore, I don't have much money. And as it was, I have $18,000 in my bank account, which I used in the first few months of our relationship because I had no income. And after my money was partially gone, he started helping me. So it was no need for me to do anything of the sort. Besides, I knew all along that Mr. Mills was not a very wealthy man.
He was not wealthy?
Mr. Mills is not a millionaire. He is a person who has a good income and some money saved, but he's not a millionaire.
Let's turn to the night of October 7th of 1974, which was the night that took Wilbur Mills, who was a well-known name in Washington and made him a well-known name throughout the United States, and took a relatively obscure name such as Fanny Fox and made it a household word. Describe that whole evening as you recall it.
I was in bed because I have been ill with a very severe case of flu and bronchitis. So I had 102 temperature, and that was Saturday. My cousin was scheduled to go back to Argentina on Monday, and I was to accompany her to Orlando for about 3 days with her son. And as it was, I didn't see it possible for me to go there. So next day, Sunday, my daughter has taken her to one of the places to visit in Virginia. And I was all alone with my little girl. Mr. Mills came back from Arkansas that afternoon and found me in bed. And as it was, I had never really been having a cold or flu, very rare. And he just couldn't believe I was in bed. He said, what are you doing in bed? You know, it's not like you. You're so active, so full of life. And I know sometimes you don't feel well, but you're hard-working. And what are you doing in bed? Mm. Get up.
And he wanted to swing a little bit.
And he says, we have to take your cousin to a restaurant tomorrow. She's gone away, and I like her, and I know she... Whenever you go to Buenos Aires, she help you in every way she can. She take care of you. And so why don't you do the same thing? But I said, I'm not feeling well. So he actually forced me to get out of bed. I guess he felt like having a little party. He's been in Arkansas for almost 2 weeks.
So there was animosity before the evening began and before you had your first drink.
I didn't feel like going out, and I didn't feel like being pushed. And but, you know, I wanted to please him, and I used this horrible wig I have for one of my acts because I didn't have time to set my hair. My hair was very long at the time, and he loved that long hair of mine, and he didn't want me to wear any wigs. He said, just brush it. But after the temperature, my hair was wet and messy, so I put this wig, and he started saying that I didn't look good, that I look cheap, and I am an elegant lady, and I wasn't supposed to wear that wig. It looks terrible. I'm not going to go out with you this way. So we started that. It was a series of stupid little arguments that led to a fist fight, and eventually me getting... very angry and frustrated and jumping into the tidal basin.
A couple of things I want to backtrack on. The driver of the car, who was he?
The driver of the car was a friend of my husband and somebody who Mr. Mills met at my ex-husband's birthday party. And he liked Albert. And Albert
He was a former Nixon aide. What did he do in the Nixon White House?
I have no idea. I never questioned Albert about it. But the only time I learned about that is when it was in the papers and they were trying to get some information, and I understand he was some sort of a Nixon aide. I'm not sure. What kind?
So what was happening is you were battling in the car, and it turned into more than just a verbal abuse. You
yes.
were swinging at each other. You knocked his
yes.
glasses off. You were trying to gouge each other's mm-hmm. eyes out. You had both been drinking heavily, and you were upset with each other from the moment
that was
true. All right, when the sirens came and you saw in the rearview mirror that the police were coming, you opened the door and jumped into the tidal basin.
It was
Why
not
did you
that
do it?
Quite. It was not that fast. What happened is that I was afraid that giving Mr. Mills a ticket would embarrass him. I was not aware of the camera people at all. But they didn't show up until, I would say, just maybe a minute before I jumped into the tidal basin.
Well,
and
from the moment, from the moment the car stopped
yes,
to the moment
happened.
You jumped in, what happened during that
what
period
happened?
And how long a period was it?
All right, it was, I couldn't possibly tell you, maybe 5 minutes. It was not immediately, no. I came out of the car, and as I did, I stepped into a glass, a Coca-Cola bottle, and I lay in the grass for a little while looking for the piece of glass in my foot. And then I tried to talk to the officers. There were two officers, I recall. I don't know how many more there were, but I recall seeing two of them talking just before the second police car arrived. And I tried to tell her, I looked for my driver's license. I tried to tell him that I was the driver, then I was to be given the ticket, and that's it, and let us go. And somehow, I just couldn't convince them. They just wanted more.
Did they recognize Wilbur Mills right away?
I imagine they did. I don't know, but I imagine they did. That's why it wasn't so easy to just give me a ticket and let me go.
Okay, now, the car is stopped. The police have pulled you over. And there's about approximately 5 minute duration. When did the news cameramen arrive?
I have no idea. I never knew that the camera was there. My cousin went with me to the hospital, and she says, "Did you know there was a man with cameras around there?" "No, it couldn't be." I said, "Yes." So the next day after I left the hospital, I talked to Mr. Mills' secretary, and she says there were some rumors that there was a cameraman there, but we don't know yet.
It was
late in the evening, the news wasn't there.
It's also unusual for a news camera crew to be following a police cruiser around late in the evening who was
yeah,
pulling
I
someone over.
Yeah, I doubted if they were following him. You know, I was supposed to be in an interview about a week ago in Washington, and the man who took this picture, the cameraman, was going to be interviewed in the same program with me, but he never showed up. And I really was going to ask him. Another time I met the wife of the officer who jumped into the tidal basin to rescue me or to help me out of the water. And I asked her, and she said that she asked her husband that question, and he didn't know. But as it is, and it sounds reasonable, we imagine that after they recognized Mr. Mills' car, they asked for help. They called the police station, and maybe they picked up the call. That's our own explanation. There is no other explanation. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to set up, including me, if I wanted to do that, or if somebody else want to set Mr. Mills up for one of these scandals, they have 100 better opportunities, 100 better, because we went to the Silver Slipper nightclub and sit with all these
but
girls and talking.
I question that, because what better one is there than the one that actually happened? Everything, if you wanted to set someone up and scandalize them, perhaps there were better opportunities to do it.
There were
but
better
it's done.
Opportunity and better cases to
but
do
it's,
it.
But it was done. It was successful.
Oh, as it turned out, it was not successful. It ruined my life
I'm not talking about you. They weren't trying to set up you. If someone was trying to set up Wilbur Mills, they were successful because the man has been destroyed.
Exactly. That we'll never know. Like many things that happened in our government, we'll possibly never know.
When you jumped into the tidal basin, did you really know what you were doing, or were you too bombed to really realize it?
I guess I was too drunk to realize it. I wanted to get away, and I don't even recall why I did it. I want to believe that it was out of really frustration and anger.
Fanny, we have to pause here for a moment, and then we'll continue.
All right,
Fanny Fox is our guest. The title of the book is The Stripper and the Congressman, published by Pinnacle in paperback for $1.75. There have been rumors, Fanny, that Wilbur Mills was not the first nor the last powerful Washington figure that you have had a sexual affair with. Is that true?
No, it's completely incorrect. Mr. Mills is the only person I met from the government. I do have two friends, but they are not in Congress. One is the mayor in a small town in the country, and another one is in the south of the country, also mayor. Mm-hmm. And I met another former mayor in California. Not important as Mr. Mills, never.
A couple of weeks ago, you received nationwide publicity when the book first came out, when they quoted a chapter in the book in which you describe being made pregnant by Wilbur Mills.
Yes, that's
Can you
correct.
Describe how that happened and where it happened?
It was an accident. I didn't plan that. It happened when I was in Little Rock, and we had an invitation. I mean, he was invited to go to recover from his operation in one of these houses by the lake. And it was an old house. It didn't have all the comfort of a modern house, so I couldn't really take care of me and myself. And I became pregnant, and I was
What was his reaction when you told him?
He was thrilled. He was so happy. Often we talk like dream, you know, as maybe when we get married, you know, maybe we can have a child and be a son because you don't have a son. And just, I don't know, it might sound stupid for other people, but it was very important for us. And I was happy for a while, and then I was unhappy, and he was happy all the time. He wanted me to have the child, but when he's... 2 months later, his wife came back and ruined all our possibilities of future happiness, you know.
Did she talk you into the abortion?
No, she didn't say, Anna, go and you know, have an abortion. No, she just said that it was very unusual for a woman my age to have a child. I didn't agree with her, but... Then she says, what's going to happen? You have three children. How are you going to support him? He's never going to marry you because I'm not going to give you a divorce. So all that together really, you know, really got me.
Where did you have the abortion?
In Washington, in a government office, as a government agency.
How did he respond to that?
He didn't want to know about it. 2 days before I had the abortion, he says, okay, I'm tired of arguing with you. And there's nothing I can tell you, it gets to your head. So you go ahead and do whatever you want, but I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to know about it. And he learned just the day after, the same day in the afternoon.
In responding to that particular incident and also responding to the book, Wilbur Mills has become very bitter. He doesn't like to talk about you, doesn't like to talk about the book, and he's called you a bitch. How do you respond to that?
I don't know. I didn't see that comment, you know. The only one I read is that Mr. Mills says that I don't remember, I don't recall. He doesn't deny what is in the book, he doesn't admit it. He just said then maybe I said that, maybe she told me she was pregnant, but I don't remember.
Wilbur Mills was involved in a political campaign at this time. He was reelected. He ran against a Republican by the name of Judy Petty, and in the book it says that you and he had some information on Judy Petty. Would you like to relate what information you had?
You're the first person who asked me that, but that part is not, that part of the book is not for me to discuss, and I'd rather not to.
Did she offer you any money, or did Arkansas Republicans offer you any money to come in and appear either with Wilbur or make a big issue of it during the closing 3 weeks of the campaign?
No, I don't know. I don't know the lady. And the only time I was offered a big amount of money to perform in Little Rock, it was after the Boston incident.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered for some.
So conceivably, there could have been some Republican money behind that high price offer.
Yes, it was, and I imagine they wanted to hurt him further. This is before he lost his chairmanship.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Boston incident, there were people in Washington and throughout the country that were willing to forgive and forget the Tidal Basin incident. It was the Boston incident where he went
exactly.
to Boston and appeared with you on stage that really sunk Wilbur Mills.
Yes.
There is one aspect of insight into Wilbur Mills that you mentioned in the book that conceivably could be the cause for why he did that, and that's a story that you relate that he had told to you. That when he was a student at Harvard, he fell in love and wanted to marry a Boston stripteaser.
Yes.
And his father would not allow it and wanted to take all of Wilbur, was going to pull the financial rug out from under Wilbur.
He was very upset. Couldn't believe it.
So, conceivably what was happening here psychologically is that Wilbur was going back to relive and fall in love and get recognition for falling in love with a stripteaser who was in Boston. Something he could not have done when he was 21 years old.
It's very hard. Maybe it's possible. I'm not really that expert in psychology. It's possible.
What's your relationship with Wilbur now? When was the last time you spoke with him?
The last time I saw him was 2 months ago. But I am kind of still close to him. I know how he feels towards me, why he is doing things that he's doing, talking about the book and about myself, the way he's doing. I know exactly what's going on. That's why I'm not concerned about it. It's important to me to know that he still feels strong about me.
My last question, why did you write the book? There are some very, very personal things in this book. You are the most publicized woman, or one of the top five women in the world as far as publicity in the last year. You have made money through your strip-teasing since the incident. You are a very articulate, beautiful woman. Why the book, and why specifically did you get so intimate in certain parts of the book?
Well, I figured I had to write a book. Might as well be everything in it, the good and the bad.
Well, why did you have to write the book? Did you need the money?
Oh, well, of course, everybody needs the money as it is. When all this happened, I couldn't go back to do any striptease. My life was ruined. I don't have a husband. I don't have a man to support me, and I have 3 children. That was part of it. But, you know, I've been classified as an empty-headed bad girl, stripper, which is the worst that can happen to a woman according to society. And I thought that I should tell them how I feel about Mr. Mills and how he felt about me. And I was accepted by his people, by his friends. And he was accepted in my family as a regular...
The relationship, you know, I can go along with that. But what about some of the very personal and very sexual aspects of your relationship?
It was to be everything in it.
Who made that decision?
I did. I figured that if I'm going to write about my lover, everything had to be there. And as it is, I didn't write all the details. I didn't go that far. I just mentioned that he was a rather warm person and a good lover, and I figured then I had to explain to the people why I was attracted to him and why I was with him. Say yes, but people will come and say, she got something from him, mm-hmm. But what about as a young woman? What about sex? I didn't want people to come and question me again.
Yeah.
Everything is in the book, so they cannot come and ask me again.
But the main thing, you did it for the money.
No, the main thing is because I was, may I use this expression?
Sure.
I was sick and tired to being publicized as a nobody, as a very, very bad person, a lot of people who interviewed me before twisted my words around and tricked me into talking about these problems and then printed things that were not right. And even if some of them were right, it was not printed in the way I would say to the public. That's it. And the book is the story as I see it, the way I like to write it.
One last question. Do you still love Wilbur Mills?
Yes, I do very much indeed, and I will love him as long as I live the way it is now.
Fanny Fox has been our guest today, the Tidal Basin bombshell who was involved in the international incident with Representative Wilbur Mills on October 7th of 1974. The title of the book is The Stripper and the Congressman. It is published by Pinnacle. It is a paperback. It is $1.75, and it is an interesting insight into one of the most interesting and most talked about domestic incidents that we have had in this country in a long, long time. And Fanny, thank you very much for being with
us. Thank you, Bruce.